morning. May it
Good
please
morning.
The court. My name is Matt Catlett. I'm the attorney for the appellant in this case, who appeals the August 10th, 2010 order of the Juvenile Court of Lancaster County, which placed the appellant's three children, who had been previously adjudicated to be juveniles under Nebraska Revised Statute Section 43-247-3A, and removed from the home of the appellant, who was the undisputed custodial parent of the children, and placed those children with their respective fathers outside the state of Nebraska, while at the same time finding the permanency objective to be reunification. In In Re Ethan M., this court was presented with a fact pattern quite similar to the present case. The child in that case had also been adjudicated as a juvenile under the juvenile code due to alleged conduct by the child's father and removed from the home of the father. At the initial disposition hearing, the juvenile court of Sherman County found that reasonable efforts to reunify the child with his father were not required, and placed the child with his biological mother in California, out of state. On appeal, this court reversed the reasonable efforts finding, and then held that since reasonable efforts to reunify must be made, the child must be brought back to Nebraska, because placement of the child in California, even with the child's biological mother, posed a substantial and unnecessary hindrance to reunification. The court therefore implicitly held that reunification must be with respect to the parent from whose home the child had been removed, or, you know, that was the parent whose conduct led to the adjudication. In the present case, in its August 10, 2010 order, the Separate Juvenile Court of Lancaster County found the primary permanency objective to be reunification. In view of this court's holding in In Re Ethan M., that can only mean reunification with the appellant, since there's no question that it was the appellant from whose home the children had been removed. Moreover, the record is clear, and the state does not dispute, that appellant was the custodial parent at the time of the filing of the 3A petition. The law in Nebraska is quite clear that a permanency plan must be reasonably related to the permanency objective identified. In this case, the permanency objective, as ordered by the juvenile court, was reunification. So by placing the children with their fathers out of state, the Juvenile Court of Lancaster County has ordered a plan that is completely inconsistent with its own permanency objective order. So, I mean, in Appellee's brief, the state contends that, you know, non-custodial parents have rights and they don't give up their rights by crossing state lines. I mean, of course, non-custodial parents have rights. There's no question about that. But I think, you know, in the context of a juvenile court case, when the court takes jurisdiction and adjudicates the children as juveniles, those rights are suspended essentially by the adjudication. They're not terminated, but they're suspended.
The rights of the non-custodial parent?
That's right. That's right. I mean,
what do you do about the parental preference doctrine, if that's true?
The parental preference doctrine. I mean, I understand that there is a preference for, you know, placing a child with a parent. But, you know, Your Honor, there's a reason that these children were with the mother in the first place. And, you know, I think that if those fathers want to have placement of the children with them, they need to come back to Nebraska.
Weren't there also reasons why the children were removed from the mother in, I think it would be April of 2009?
Yeah, I mean, yes, there's no question that the children had been removed, but the permanency objective was still reunification. And that's what the court ordered. So I guess what we're trying to figure out here is what does the word reunification mean?
Isn't the practical choice that your position poses between foster care and the non-custodial parents?
This court's holding an In Re Ethan M. said that it didn't have to be with the custodial parent. They just had to be brought back to Nebraska for either placement with the custodial parent or foster care. I mean, I just, why do we have jurisdiction over these children if they're going to be placed out of state? I mean, close the case. But in this case, the permanency objective, according to the court, was reunification. There was even an exception hearing in terms of, you know, the decision whether or not the state was required to file a motion to terminate parental rights, and the court found that an exception existed. So there, I mean, clearly the court is not ready to give up on the mother, and has found that reunification with her should still be the plan. And we're contending that placing the children outside the state, I mean, how can reunification realistically occur if that happens? I understand this is a mess.
And, of course, I'm sure you're familiar with the second, or maybe it's the third iteration of Ethan M., where the question was, did the juvenile court effectively change custody? And, of course, we held in that case that they did not use the correct procedure to do so. But by placing these children with the non-custodial parent temporarily, isn't the trial court looking ahead to possibly having a change of custody proceeding in the juvenile court?
Well, there hasn't. I mean, maybe, that, but there is no... I mean, there is no custody order in Nebraska. And I guess that's what has to be done, you know, in a case like this. You know, get the custody, get a custody case, you know, a custody...
But you're conceding the evidence is not there to reunify at the time of this order.
We're not appealing the issue of...
out of home placement.
Yeah, that's not what I'm appealing today. I mean, I'm appealing the placement out of state while the plan is reunification. Because if the plan is reunification, In Re Ethan M. says the kids have to be here, inside the borders of the state, either in foster care or in out of home placement or with the appellant.
Now, in the first Ethan M., wasn't it placement with a more distant relative?
No, it was with the biological mother.
Okay, all right.
That's the thing about Ethan M. is that it was even with the child's own mother, you know, and the court said, got to be brought back here. Where reasonable efforts are required to be made, reunification must occur here. So...
In Ethan, wasn't there... a finding that there was a California divorce decree between mom and dad that made dad the custodial parent?
There may have been. And actually, in this case...
Actually, there was.
Okay.
Got it right here.
Okay. I'm not sure that that is dispositive of the issue. The appellant was the custodial parent in this case. I mean, she had the children. Whether that was by virtue of a prior court order, and actually in this particular case, the record shows that all three of these children were subject of a custody order arising out of the state of Texas.
We also said that the record before us contains substantial information about Teresa, which reveals that she has mental illness of consequence as well as a history of periodically leaving the marital home for significant time frames, leaving dad, Daniel, to care for Ethan.
Yeah, Your Honor, I acknowledge that statement was in the decision. It didn't seem to me to be, it almost seemed to me to be just a statement that the court made that, you know,
well, we followed it up with the statement thereafter, after consideration of these circumstances,
Yeah.
So it isn't like it was just kind of a throwaway.
Well, I'm not saying it was a throwaway. I wouldn't try to disrespect the court that way. I'm just saying that it sure didn't seem to me that was, you know, a particularly relevant factor in the decision. The decisions to me seem to focus on the fact that, hey, if the child had been removed from the father in Nebraska, and that was, he was the adjudicated parent, and, you know, and the plan is reunification, which is required to be the plan, you know, reasonable efforts are required to be made, and the kids have to be brought back to Nebraska. So for these reasons, I urge this court to reverse the separate juvenile court of Lancaster County's order placing the children with their biological fathers in Texas and Ohio, and to return them to Nebraska so that reunification with the appellant may proceed. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If it pleases the court, my name is C.J. Roberts, and I'm the attorney for the appellees. I represent the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services, the county attorney, or deputy county attorney, guardian ad litem, attorney for Timothy Seward, and attorney for Rocky Wright, also signed on to the brief I submitted, but they will not be presenting any evidence or argument this morning. As was somewhat brought up in appellant's argument, I believe that this presents the Court of Appeals with the opportunity to address really two different things. And the first would be, does In Re Interest of Ethan M., and that would be the first one, found at 15 Nebraska Appeals 148 from 2006, create some sort of blanket rule against allowing children to move out of the state and reside with their non-custodial parent when reunification is the goal? Appellees would contend that that is not the case, and appellees would contend that the facts and posture of the case at bar in Re Interest Corey W. Are distinguished from the facts of the case in Re Ethan M.
Counsel, your opponent argues that reunification in this context inherently means reunification with the parent with whom the children were residing at the time of removal, that is, reunification with mom in this case. Do you agree that that's the meaning of reunification in the juvenile court context?
Your Honor, I don't, and that is the second issue I think that is presented to the court to clarify. And I will outline that, but to answer your question generally right now, given the trial court's clear intent, children be placed with their biological fathers, non-custodial biological fathers, and I'm skipping to the back end of my argument here, but essentially the court ordered that in-home placement, and I think this is on the August 10, 2010 order, found at transcript 41 at 42, found that in-home placement was in the children's best interest, and therefore reunification was going to be the permanency plan. I think the court found that because under 43-245-11, a parent is defined as one or both parents or a step-parent when the step-parent is married to a custodial parent. The only distinction made between a custodial parent and a parent under the juvenile code, the definition of a parent, is when trying to figure out whether or not a subsequent spouse or step-parent would be a parent under the juvenile code, which is really not an issue here. We're talking about custodial parent, or really we're talking about leaving a child suspended in foster care in Nebraska versus placing with a parent as defined by the juvenile code out of state.
So fast forwarding, your argument then is that reunification goes to either parent disregarding custodial status under previous extraneous orders.
Yes, Your Honor, I would. And I would note that this court has stated that certainly you have to take into consideration things like if there is a custody order in existence, or things like that, because there are issues that the court needs to deal with that the juvenile court is going to have to resolve before the case can be dismissed. So,
was that a problem in this case, that it wasn't resolved before the custody was placed with the father's out of state?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe that was an issue in this case.
Well, in this particular instance, the way I understand it, there's a custody order that places the children with the mother. And under what she did, the children were removed from the home and adjudicated under 3A.
That's correct.
And so when it talks about reunification, if the children were in custody of the mother and taken away from the mother, why wouldn't the reunification be with the mother? Unless you have a change in the custody order.
Well, Your Honor, I guess my argument goes to 43.283.012, and that's the reunification language, but it talks about reasonable efforts shall be made to preserve and reunify families. And I guess the department's position would be that families is a fairly broad interpretation.
Well, but the problem that you have is you have a custody order specifically placing the children with the mother.
And I think
you don't have a situation where you have a mother and a father living together and the children have been removed from them and now you want to reunite the family. You have a custody order that some judge, someplace, has made a determination that the children shall be placed with the mother until different order is entered. And that order was not entered before the children were placed with the father out of state.
Yes, Your Honor, which I think goes to the first factor that I was going to talk about, which is how this case is distinguished from that case, because they were at totally different postures. In re Ethan M. was an original disposition, so reasonable efforts had not been tried with the father in Nebraska at that time. The court made a finding that reasonable efforts were not necessary with the father because of aggravated circumstances. This court found that was error, essentially found that but for the no reasonable efforts finding being necessary, the court would not have placed the child in California, and it creates a substantial barrier to reunification. But unlike In re Ethan M., at original disposition in this case, the children were all left in mom's custody. And that was transcript 7, but it was in February 28th of 2009. And then on April 23rd, 2009, when the children were actually removed from appellant's custody, they were still left in Nebraska and placed in foster care in the state of Nebraska. And they remained in foster care in Nebraska until this August 10th, 2010 order changed the placement. They remained in foster care so long, as appellant stated, it was necessary for the court to make a determination whether the state had a duty to file a termination of parental rights solely based on the amount of time the children had been suspended in foster care. And I think if you, looking at the Bill of Exceptions, the court's comments are fairly clear that now that we have a chance to towards possible permanency with the father, the court found that was a compelling reason not to or to find an exception to making it mandatory to file a motion for parental rights. So,
counsel, it's been some time since I read these materials. Is this a single father for all of the children, or are there multiple fathers? Refresh my memory.
The Corey and Carissa, their father is Mr. Rocky Wright, and he lives in Ohio. Timothy Seward is the father of Cassidy.
And he lives somewhere else.
Yes.
So then we're talking about two different placements, which involves separation of siblings.
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
And the court made that finding, and I guess I would note also, well, as I've kind of already stated, that this isn't a case where we're looking at leaving children in with one parent versus placement out of state with another parent. We're talking about leaving children who've been out of the home for a significant amount of time, suspended in foster care, with no way of knowing whether reunification is going to happen, versus placing them with a parent out of state. And as far as the parent's rights, although I've argued in my brief, at the end of the day, the state's position and the department's position is that best interest is the overriding factor. These fathers do have some constitutionally protected rights to their children. And when a case is getting to the point of having an exception hearing, I think their rights may outweigh that of leaving the children suspended in foster care. And also an issue here is, if best interest is the standard, I would argue it is at this stage in the case, I pointed the court to In re Eric O, 9 Nebraska Appeal 676 in my brief. There were hearings regarding the placement issue held April 15, 2010, June 10, 2010, and August 10, 2010. Now, I didn't realize this, and I wasn't trying to mug anybody, but the Bill of Exceptions doesn't include the testimony and exhibits from the hearing that occurred on April 15, 2010, including the case plan court report of the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services.
Was it requested?
It was the transcript was requested, the Bill of Exceptions was not requested.
So
it's not. I would submit that this court doesn't have all of the evidence before it that the trial court.
Whose responsibility is that? If you wanted us to have that information,
Your Honor, in reviewing Nebraska Court Rules of Appeal, Section 2-105B1B, if appellant is trying to ask the court to overrule a trial court's finding while missing the exhibits and testimony. Essentially, that rule would indicate that appellant would need to present this court with a complete record, in my opinion. And I will admit, I didn't find that until after I had a chance to actually review the transcripts. And so this being a case that, an expedited case, we move forward based on argument.
Thank you.
There's no
other
questions.
No questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How much time does the appellant have left?
Beautiful.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming in today. Case is deemed submitted. Counsel are excused. This completes this day of court of appeals.